fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today is the 100th anniversary of the miracle of the sun. Our Lady's final appearance at Fatima, October 13th, 1917. I want to talk today about that miracle. The children, Lucia, Francesco, and Jacinta, the young children, 7, 9, and 10-year-olds, who were receiving the apparitions of Our Lady and the messages, they suffered a lot. They had a lot of opposition. Lots of people mocked them. Even some of the parents were not happy with it, or the police and the rest. And at a certain point, they would ask Mary if Jesus could give some kind of sign of the validity and the divine authority of the messages that they were receiving. And it happened on October 13th, 1917. And I want to, again, taken from Father Michael Gately's book, The Second Greatest Story Ever Told, I want to read a little bit of his comments about it, but then just read the actual accounts written by people, both some Catholics, some not Catholics, some secular people, and what they experienced in the miracle on that day. So here's Father Gately. The miracle of the sun happened during the last apparition of Our Lady of Fatima and was witnessed by a gathering of about 75,000 people. So many people came because Our Lady had told Lucia during the July 13th apparition that she would perform a miracle in October for all to see and believe. Those were her exact words, according to Lucia, that a miracle would be performed for all to see and to believe. The word about this promised miracle quickly spread. Even the secular anti-Catholic newspaper Osecolo helped get the word out, although it did so in a mocking tone. All morning long on October 13, 1917, the day of the promised miracle, a steady rain saturated the Cova de Iria, as well as the tens of thousands of people gathered there. At midday, Our Lady appeared to the children, who were kneeling in mud in front of the crowds. As usual, Lucia engaged the lady in conversation, who in this instance revealed herself as the Lady of the Rosary. The conversation concluded with a particularly somber tone as the lady repeated the heart of the Fatima message with a sorrowful plea recorded by Lucia. Looking very sad, Our Lady said, "Do not offend the Lord our God any more, because he's already so much offended." Think about that. Pure heart of Our Lady, who's living so closely with the saints and the Trinity, she knows God. God is all in all in her already. She knows the heart of God. And what does she come to say? "Do not offend the Lord your God anymore." Man, it's just so important for the world to see that now in our day. So many ways we're offending God. It's staggering. After speaking these words, Mary opened her hands, and the reflection of her own glorious light was reflected on the sun as she disappeared into the distance. The children then beheld a series of visions: St. Joseph with the child Jesus, Our Lady robed in white with a blue mantle, and then Our Lady again, first appearing as Our Lady of Sorrows and then as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. As the children beheld these visions, the people who gathered saw something very different, as is described by one of the eyewitnesses, Mary Ellen. Here's her account. "As we approached the hillside upon which the appearances were supposed to have taken place, I saw a sea of people. Some newspapers said there were 70,000 people there. I didn't count, but it was more people than I had ever seen in my life, even to this day. We had just arrived there when suddenly my attention was drawn by a sudden bright light from the heavens, lighting up the whole countryside. Suddenly the rain ceased, the clouds separated, and I saw a large sun, brighter than the sun, yet I could look at it without hurting my eyes, as if it were only the moon. This sun began to get larger and larger, brighter and brighter, until the whole heavens seemed more brilliantly lighted than I'd ever seen it. Then the sun started spinning and shooting streams of light, which changed it to all colors of the rainbow. At the same time, it started getting bigger and bigger in the sky, as though it were headed directly for us, as though it were falling on the earth. Everyone was frightened. We all thought it was the end of the world. Everyone threw themselves on their knees and praying and screaming the act of contrition. Suddenly the sun stopped spinning. and returned to its place in the sky. Everyone started shouting, "Miracle! This is a miracle!" Just then I noticed that both the ground and my clothes were bone dry. Everyone seemed to rush forward to see the children. Unfortunately, I was only able to see them from a distance. Father Gately, the dancing and then falling sun that could be looked at without pain to the eyes, the exclamation of tens of thousands of people, "Miracle!" The drying up of the clothes in the ground, truly a great miracle occurred on that October 13th afternoon. But lest it should be said that the massive crowd was just made up of gullible and pious peasants who simply saw what they wanted to see, we have the following testimony from Alfredo de Silva Santos, a business professional from Lisbon who, by his own admission, was not the most fervent believer and something of a skeptic. Here's his account. "We made our arrangements. We went in three motor cars on the early morning of the 13th. There was a thick mist, and the car which went in front mistook the way so that we were all lost for a time and only arrived at the cova at midday by the sun. It was absolutely full of people, but for my part, I felt devoid of any religious feeling. When Lucia called out, 'Look at the sun,' the whole multitude repeated, 'Attention to the sun.' It was a day of incessant drizzle, but a few moments before the miracle, it stopped raining. I can hardly find words to describe what followed. The sun began to move. At a certain moment, appeared to be detached from the sky and about to hurtle upon us like a wheel of flame. My wife, we'd been married only a short time, fainted, and I was too upset to attend to her. My brother-in-law supported her on his arm. I fell on my knees, oblivious of everything around me. And when I got up, I don't know what I said. I think I began to cry out like the others. An old man with a white beard began to attack the atheists aloud and challenge them to say whether or not something supernatural had occurred." Father Gately again. He said, "The testimony gives us a hint of what the atmosphere must have been like in Portugal leading up to the apparitions. We know that the atheists and the anti-Catholics enjoyed mocking the children of Fatima and those that followed them. Surely many of them showed up to continue their mockery, but the old man with the white beard confronted their disbelief." Here's another testimony, this time from a priest, Father Ignacio Lorenzo. "I feel incapable of describing what I saw and felt. I looked fixedly at the sun, which seemed pale and did not hurt my eyes. Looking like a ball of snow revolving on itself, it suddenly seemed to come down in a zigzag motion, menacing the earth. Terrified, I ran and hid myself among the people who were weeping and expecting the end of the world at any moment. Near us was an unbeliever who had spent the morning mocking at the simpletons who had gone off to Fatima, quote, 'just to see an ordinary girl,' unquote. He now seemed to be paralyzed. His eyes were fixed on the sun. Afterwards, he trembled from head to foot, and lifting up his arms, he fell on his knees in the mud, crying out to Our Lady." Well, that's a powerful, powerful witness. Father Gately goes on and says, "Even more remarkable than the reaction of the unbeliever turned believer is the response of the largest newspaper in the region, O Secolo, that had done so much to mock the occurrences at the cova. Despite its atheistic and anti-Catholic positions, it couldn't help but report the truth of the phenomenon. The following excerpt from the article about the miracle of the sun was written by Avelino de Almeida, the reporter who had previously written negative articles about the apparitions." This is his account from the newspaper. "From the road where the vehicles were parked and where hundreds of people who had not dared to brave the mud were congregated, one could see the immense multitude turn toward the sun, which appeared free from clouds and in its zenith. It looked like a plaque of dull silver, and it was possible to look at it without the least discomfort. It might have been an eclipse which was taking place, but at the moment a great shout went up, and one could hear the spectators nearest at hand shouting, 'A miracle, a miracle!' Before the astonished eyes of the crowd, whose aspect was biblical as they stood bareheaded, eagerly searching the sky, the sun trembled, made sudden incredible movements outside of all cosmic laws. The sun danced, according to the typical expression of the people. Standing on the step of an omnibus was an old man With his face turned to the sun, he recited the creed in a loud voice. I asked who he was. I saw him afterwards going up to those around him who still had their hats on, and he vehemently implored them to uncover their heads before such an extraordinary demonstration of the existence of God. People then began to ask each other what they had seen. The great majority admitted to having seen the trembling and the dancing of the sun. Others affirmed that they saw the face of the Blessed Virgin. Others, again, swore that the sun whirled on itself like a giant wheel and that it lowered itself to the earth as if to burn it in its rays. Some said they saw it change colors successively. Our Lady kept her promise. This is Father Gately, a miracle for all to see and believe. And what a remarkable miracle it was. Apart perhaps from Our Lady's apparition in Egypt, which drew crowds of 250,000 people in the late 1960s and early 70s, most of whom were Muslims, and which was captured on video, I know of no other miracle in the whole history of the Church that was so dramatic and witnessed by so many people as it happened. No wonder it's part of the second greatest story ever told. But what are the remarkable connections between the story of Fatima and John Paul II? He takes it up in the next chapter. Of course, John Paul II, there's an attempted assassination on his life. Lucia, now St. Lucia, believed that that was the fulfillment of Mary's message that the Pope would be killed in the vision that she showed the children. Friends, but here we are on this 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. And we want to remember the fundamentals of the story, that Jesus decided, the Father decided, to send Mary, and that to honor Our Lady and to glorify our Lord, Jesus was calling for a recognition of what really he's accomplished in his mother Mary, the honor that he's given her, and that he called for the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There's formal prayers for that consecration. Maybe we'll talk about it sometime on the radio, but essentially, friends, it's a surrender to the reality of Jesus' will that Mary be recognized in her Immaculate Heart and that the great deed that God the Father did in her to prepare her to become the mother of Jesus and how she responded to that grace and now is there, crowned by the Lord himself as Queen of Heaven and Earth, that the Lord has set her apart for this time and for a mission. And we certainly know through Medjugorje and other places the amazing way in which Mary has been really the evangelist of our time. And she calls us all to pray the rosary and to repent of our sins and to do penance for the sins of the world. And to engage really now, to follow in that same spirit, to engage the new evangelization, to bring the gospel and to bring Christ to others. And I just want to end with the prayer to Our Lady, the Hail Mary, and pray that you would consecrate and consider consecrating your heart to her Immaculate Heart and to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Friends, she's in your corner praying for you. Let's follow her as the first disciple. Let's follow those children as disciples that have made it all the way home to the Lord, and let's imitate their life. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.